Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. We are back. Welcome to another crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, with the most, the king or king himself, the man that won the Oscar last night for Best Supporting Actor, because I am that damn good. I am the Hot Rod. And the man who won for Best Supporting Actress is...
Actress, really? Oh, brother. Anyway... It is Sean Black once again in the building. How are you doing?
All right, and this is episode, I don't know.
201.
Oh, really? Okay.
This is your show. You don't even know how many episodes you've done.
Listen, like I told Sean a few minutes ago, I won the Oscar pool last night with at my job. Well, it was a three-way tie. I didn't watch the Oscars, nor do I care. So why should I care about how many shows we've done so far? If it's not about me, the only thing I care about is me and just me. That's it. Okay?
I mean, you could always do the show by yourself and get away with that to see how that works.
Although I have Lady T on my side, I could do the show without you. Always keep that in mind, okay? All I need is Lady T and K-Dog and Brother B. Sean Black, you're fired. But other than that... The number to call in on the show, if you want Chris Sean Black or anybody else, is 347-989-8402. The number, once again, is 347-989-8402. And Sean Black, we have Lady T on the line now. She just came back from L.A. from the Oscar party. She was partying all night long last night.
You just moved from L.A., and boy, your arm's tired, right?
No, she's full of energy. She's acting like she won last night, you know?
Oh, boy.
But talk about the Oscars. This is the first time they had no host in a long time, which led to, most people believe, one of the lowest ratings Oscars of all time. Go figure. But, as always, like any other award show, there has to be controversy. Tisha sent me the story, Lady T, excuse me, sent me the story out earlier about your president, Sean Black, versus Spike Lee.
Why does it have to be my president? I didn't vote for this person.
But you talk about him like he's God every time.
Oh, good grief.
Okay, you're welcome. So, it seems like Trump is at war with someone. So what happened last night that Trump went after Spike Lee this time?
Okay, to set everything up, Spike Lee finally, after how many millions of years he's been in the film business, won an Academy Award for co-writing Black Klansman, which came out back in August, which was a really good movie. And during his acceptance speech, he basically went out and he thanked a lot of people, but then he also, what people would think is a veiled kind of a shot at President Trump, and basically stating,
shocking.
Yeah,
shocking.
Yeah, be on the right side of history. Make the moral choice between love and hate for 2020. Somewhere along those lines, kind of alluding to the fact that, you know, our president has done so many things, has been very amoral in a lot of his decision making, without necessarily saying it. He didn't say Republican, he didn't say Trump by name, et cetera, et cetera. We know who he was referring to, but he was being very diplomatic and to some degree respectful in how he said it. Needless to say, the president, with his he just can't help it, got up on Twitter and, with his feelings hurt and his panties in a bunch, went in to put this particular tweet out not that long afterwards in response. And this is what he said. You'll notice the way it's done. Quote, be nice if Spike Lee could read his notes, or better yet, not have to use notes at all. when doing his racist hit on your president, who has done more for African Americans, i.e. criminal justice reform, lowest unemployment in numbers in history, tax cuts, etc., than almost any other president, end quote. That's the tweet he did. Now,
so,
shortly
hold
the
on,
next
I'm
day.
Sorry. Excuse me, Kato, I'm sure. Lady T, when you read that tweet, were you dying laughing when you saw that? What went through your mind?
First of all, I said this guy has real, real, real issues because I didn't see anything in his message other than peace. So when it's about peace, it seems like he has such a big problem if it's not about confusion. I don't understand it. What was the big deal?
So in other words, no matter what anyone would have said, Trump had to say something negative about that.
It really doesn't matter. And
about,
I'm thinking
mm-hmm.
No, I was gonna say I'm thinking Trump says ridiculous stuff out of his mouth all the time. What's the problem?
Well, it was not about Trump.
The problem is, as you just stated, it has to be about Trump. It has to always be about Trump, and it has to be about Trump in a glowing, positive way, or at least in his mind, it has to seem like it's positive and complimentary. And you must genuflect in front of the man and heap praises upon him, kiss his ring, and call him Sir Trump or King Trump or whatever he feels he needs to answer for. But here's the thing. We know the piece. You can parse some of that tweet and figure out where he's going with a lot of this stuff and his thin-skinned self. The next day, Monday, the day after, which was earlier this morning, actually, he went, I believe it was Entertainment Weekly, one of the magazines, and he was interviewed about a response to what the president tweeted. And this is what Spike Lee's response was. He said, quote, "Well, it's okey-doke. They changed the narrative. They did the same thing with the African-American players who were kneeling, trying to make it into an anti-American thing, an anti-patriot thing, an anti-military thing, but no one's going for that," end quote. So basically, we know Trump tries to change the narrative when it has anything to do with something that is a quote-unquote attack on him, his policies, or anything linked to Trump.
Or technically, quote-unquote, Sean Black, sorry to cut you off, but quote-unquote, it's really when black people are unified and we're talking about peace, it's always a problem.
Yes, true. And I love, wow, 2 weeks in a row, very good, strong point. And that's what, not all white people, but that's what the white majority are afraid of.
Yes, and not
unity
all white people.
Blackness.
Exactly, yes.
You know, but every time, you know, black people, Spanish people, Jewish people, whatever the case could be, get together. The picture of the white people, they get scared, like, and they find ways to break it up. So do you think, Sean Black, that was Trump was trying to do, break it up as usual with more hatred messages?
What I think it was I don't think it was Trump just trying to make everything about, you know, disruption or whatever is the case. I firmly believe
But he called it a racist hit.
I really believe he feels that way. In his mindset, the way he is, it's been well documented how thin-skinned he is and how introspective with a lot of the comments that come towards his way, and then he tries to change the narrative and tries to change everything and make himself look like a victim. When we know his main defense mechanism is to attack. He probably felt, because of the tweet, that he was being attacked once again, and then he has to, because of who he is, come back and not only attack, but then rub in what he feels he has done to make this world better for, quote-unquote, all of the people that are always seemingly marginalized, and we've talked about this ad nauseum, and this seems to always be the narrative. The minority groups that are marginalized, he turns around and, for the most part, either in a thin-veiled attempt at being trying to attack, then try to bring back the rationalization of why he's doing what he's doing by then trying to do a complimentary response and a retort afterwards. Look at what I've done for African Americans. Look at what I've done for all the Jewish people. For everyone.
Well,
and
it's
ridiculous. But this is how he did.
What has he done other than make Twitter even more popular than it was before? Come on.
Well,
I'll
he
give
did
him
do
that.
Tax cuts. No, he did do tax cuts. He cut my taxes. I'm not getting that much back.
I want you to think about everything that he said in that tweet is like a complete contradiction. The tax cuts, he says, well, the tax cuts helped so many African Americans, and what did that happen? We see people getting a little more money in their paycheck, but as I documented last week, the average American lost between $500 and $1,000 of money that they would have seen at the same time filing their taxes as it was last year. So that in and of itself was a lie. The only people that seem to have gotten rich are the bankers, because the bankers got huge tax cuts, and as I brought up last week, the bankers got a ton of money. They saved $21 billion. So who?
I need to be a banker.
Like, the top 1%, you know? The top 1% in this country are the ones that got to benefit from those tax cuts. You don't see Joe Schmo in the street who works at the local supermarket save money.
Why is always Joe Schmo? There's other names out there.
Okay.
Always Joe Schmo. Those are redneck.
How about
with you?
Joanna Schmoanda. How's that sound? I'll make it inclusive. How's that?
Oh, cheese and rice.
Joanna Schmoanda.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay. We have K-Dog in the house. K-Dog, I'm sure you just flew in from the Oscar parties as well. You're probably a little bit hungover and red-eyed. What do you have to say about your boy, Trump and Spike Lee?
Listen, Spike Lee, I'm very proud of you, brother, on winning this award for best screenplay. And second, Trump, once again, we see the Twitter in chief twitting away. I've never seen a president who, I'm not even going to say president, but Donald Trump uses social media more than anything else. Does he have to tweet everything all the damn time? Listen, first up, what Spike Lee said was no attack. Spike Lee spoke out of intelligence. He did not say Democrat or Republican. He just said, remember, 2020, he's encouraging people to get out to vote. Did he say vote Trump out? But you know what? Trump, once again, gets real sensitive whenever they mention 2020. I mean, it's just ridiculous. It's just senseless and it's stupid. Spike Lee is a very intelligent man, and he gave a very intelligent speech, a very powerful speech. And meanwhile, you're sitting there being sour because he gives a great speech. What the hell is wrong with you?
And even more so, if you think about it, he goes back. When he feels harmed or if he feels wronged, what does he do? He does the nasty plunge into the arms of his base. And he goes with certain code words.
Oh,
a racist attack on your president. The words like that, you can pull those kinds of things out of his tweet, and then you can see where is he going, and two, what is the underlying meaning. We know a lot of things that he does is mostly diversionary. We know he's trying to divert everybody's attention from what's really going on,
exactly.
And at the same time, he's gearing up for his reelection bid that we know he's going to be going full bore on.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm just laughing to myself because there's a lot going on this week. This whole past week been so much going on.
Oh my goodness! Every day.
On to the next topic. This is Justin Samatsumela.
Smollett.
No, I just want to bring up this one point to Sean Black. No, I brought to him last week that I want to bring out to everyone. I'm like, yes, we did talk about it for the last 3 weeks, and the reason why we think he did it. And this may piss a lot of people off. I somewhat understand why he did it, the stage fight, quote unquote. There's some people out there that still believe that he was attacked. But here's my question overall.
Mm-hmm.
You want to get attention, you want to make a statement, All right, you know what? I'll give you credit for that. But, like I told Sean Black, so you tell me this guy want to make a statement with the gays, money, and being black. So you hired two Nigerian black guys to attack you in Chicago 2 o'clock in the morning wearing MAGA hats and supposedly bleach you and put a nose around you. Now, for the listeners around the world, that area is a lot of black people there. Granted, he was wearing quote-unquote ski masks. But what he was thinking, hiring black athletes in this situation, 2 o'clock in the morning. Like I told Sean, imagine me calling you. Hey, Sean, what you doing? Nothing. It's 1:30 in the morning. You want to go outside and bring somebody and put some mega hats on? Now, who's doing this? I'm sorry.
Let's go make some money. Okay,
let's go make some money. Let me tell you something. You know what's bad about this? When this alleged attack happened, did you know that there was a deep freeze in Chicago? You know you couldn't even step outside?
There was nobody outside.
There was nobody
in
outside.
Area.
Exactly.
Now,
I want to know.
There was nobody outside.
Exactly.
Two guys.
And I have to add one more thing, Rod. Everybody, do you know of a Subway that's open 24/7? Because really, if I'm hungry, man, I could go to the Subway right around the way.
That's what I'm about to say. If there's a Subway open at 2 o'clock in the morning, isn't it Steamless or Grubhub? I'm like, he's an actor. He could get his food anywhere, right?
Exactly.
But Tisha, were you upset or disbelieved when he heard? When he really wanted more money for his role on the show, when he was getting paid,
I'm sorry, go ahead. More to this story. I'm sorry. It's just not realistic to me. It hasn't clicked yet. So to ask me that, I don't know. It's the stupidest thing in creation. It's the stupidest
thing
because you technically just destroyed your whole career. Nobody's going to believe you. Nobody's trusting you for these roles. They think you're probably mental with these roles already. I don't know. I would not hire him. He just messed up
and,
empire also. No, I don't know.
And to add insult to injury, he paid these guys with a check.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not cash.
Yeah,
that
was stupid. Yeah.
This is the same nonsense that happened to Jerry Springer when he was mayor of Cincinnati, Ohio. And from what happened was the reason why he was out as mayor is because he paid for a prostitute with a personal check.
Yeah.
And it found its way back through the normal channels, and he eventually resigned. Now, what happened here, if you're going to go ahead and do this, not only did he pay for a personal check, on the memo aspect of it, he put in some sort of weird thing like it was for workout supplements or whatever was the case.
It didn't work out.
$35 worth of supplements on a personal check to get yourself jumped at 2 in the morning in Chicago in the middle of January?
Exactly.
Underneath a camera that couldn't see anything at all. Ironically, think about that. The camera was fixed where the attack allegedly was to have happened. And the only part that the camera got were the two men in question walking away from the attack. Very convenient.
He could try to switch up his story now and talk about, you know, they're Nigerian mob or something. He could try to switch up his story. But give me
well, basically, what this is a boy cry wolf. We all know the story about the boy who cried wolf.
You gonna have two black guys wearing MAGA hats in Chicago?
Yeah,
really?
In Chicago, you're asking for trouble.
But now, at the same time, but Sean, you brought up a good point about how this could ruin a story that something that happened in the past.
Yes, this isn't the first time that Jussie Smollett has actually had something along the lines of this happening. Back in 2007. He actually got in trouble for a DUI arrest. Being intoxicated while he was driving, was pulled over by the police. And he used his older brother, used his name instead of his own when he was pulled over by the cops. So this is not the first time that he's had these kinds of issues. Now, the bigger thing with this is, forget about what he, you know, exactly him and all of the little pieces around it, because we all know you can draw a line where all the dots are and connect everything and you know what's happened. Here's the issue that is here. Like I said last week, you have quote-unquote supporters of Trump who were unwillingly dragged into this lie, because not every, and I've said this before and I will continue to say this, not every Trump supporter is a racist bigot that believes in this kind of really sick-minded mentality. They bring that up. So you have those that are in there. You have the LGBT community who has now been disparaged and are now pulling them back a ways to being believed in case something happens. So that part is there. Also, you also run the risk, and I said this to Hot Rod before also, you also run the risk of somebody pulling an Emmett Till. And the reason why I say this is Emmett Till, remember that story, somebody told a lie. This ran through people believing the lie and eventually ended up having Emmett Till mutilated and murdered, having a fan wrapped around his neck and dumped in the ocean. Now, we're not saying that something like that extreme could happen, but if you have heard the stories of gay, lesbian, queer, transgender people having attacks from other people who have these really vile things to say and do about this, and have them react on a lie, thinking that this was something that really happened, this could have been catastrophic. So you have all of those dynamics in one little pocket, and that could have been a powder keg that could have ignited an entire litany of problems that did not need to happen, all because of one person having whatever the issue is to get himself either more attention, more money, whatever the issue was. And that's the saddest, scariest thing about this whole entire incident.
Okay, we have a caller in the house. Atlanta, you're there?
Hey, what up, Del? Yeah, what up, what up?
Hey, what's going
on, brother? What's going on, man?
Hey, nothing, man. Hey, man. I'm sitting here listening to y'all. Yeah, man, horrible thing what the dude did. Now there are details where the FBI is disputing some stuff that the Chicago police found. So the story ain't even over, man. This is going to get worse before it gets better. But honestly, we got to, like, keep things in perspective. Most hoaxes like this, they end up getting caught because you can't tell the same elaborate lie the same way every time. And as y'all know from when we were teenagers, when you lied to your parents and it was one of them good lies, like you stayed all night, all the other night lies, you usually made a few mistakes in there and you eventually got caught up. So, like these hoaxes, remember the girl who drew the B on her face and said, Obama supporters drew a B on me. Or that dude who had the driveway, blacks rule, stuff like that. Normally hoaxes get found out. So it's not a thing that we got all these rampant hoaxes running around. But the real thing is that Coast Guard member who was a high-ranking official who had a list of politicians and people on the list he wanted to kill. And he had a whole arsenal within his house. And he was determined that somebody was going to impeach Trump. And when Trump got impeached, he was going to go out there and get street justice, I guess you could say. So the idea that story is not is being discussed as much as this one, I'm not talking about y'all platform, I'm talking about mass media. The fact that that's not being as discussed as the hoax story is kind of lets you know where we are. Like, we try to figure out ways to paper over crazy racism. But anything on the other side, you got to turn into, you know, it is
and
what it
here's
is.
Here's even crazier situation that nobody even thought of. Just in bringing that story that you just brought up, it took President Trump a week to say
to
something
respond.
About the Coast Guard person that was planning on having mass Armageddon amongst Democrats and anybody else, et cetera, et cetera. A
and
week for him to say something about that. Yet he spoke about the Jussie Smollett thing 3 days prior to that. So that should tell you all of the mindset that you need to know about what's important in society to our president and to perhaps the people that follow the president in that sense.
Yeah.
But to add on to you, Sean Black, you responded to Spike Lee hours after the speech. Go figure. A speech, like, is not important, but to Trump, it is. So that's where the priorities of our president, you know. With all the problems in the country right now, if you attack me, I will attack you back. Well, there's one thing I like to mention, like I mentioned to Sean Black last week. Why overall the media is focusing on this story? If this story really had not harmed anyone but himself and his career overall. Kato, why do you think we talking about this story for at least a month now?
Oh, man. Listen. The whole thing with the Jussie Smollett case is this, is that. First up, story was the first thing he said was that, oh, that while he was walking, and that first he said that the attackers were white, if you remember.
Mm-hmm.
And it had everybody in an uproar. I mean, people, it was blacks and members of the LGBT community who were up in an uproar was like, damn, man, this is happening. But then when stories started to change, and of course that he didn't want to give up his phone, like people are looking at this as the biggest lie. And every day you hear something new about this case. Now they're switching, saying like this, oh, well, the Chicago police is finding out something that he didn't pay the guys to attack him, that he paid for them to get some kind of nutrition or something like that. Now, I'm not going to verify because I want to make sure that the facts are straight. Everyone's fascinated with this story because they're like, wow, this guy came out and lied. Wow, you're a star of a big-time TV show, and you have to lie, and you're doing this? What's going to happen to his career next? You know, that's what people are wondering. What next is going to come out from this?
Well, we know why I brought the story about him lying, people getting upset, but your president lied almost every time. And
well, yes, he does.
There's outrage about that. But what's the difference?
Right.
Overall.
A lie is
power,
a lie.
Power and money. Power and money.
Exactly.
That's what the difference is.
To go with that Green Book winning last night, it makes white people feel really good if they find out some racist attack didn't happen, because then that gives them a reassurance of them being better people than, you know what I mean, what they think they are as far as, well, we're not as racist as people think we are. No, things aren't that bad. This guy made up that case. So white people's engagement on this. If God is good, the only good thing that can come out of this is that horrible show Empire has to end because of it, which is what I'm hoping for. I hope to never see Lee Daniels ever again in life.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, as much as I hate a lot of the things that the media does, it's the same old adage, if it bleeds, it leads. So when we're clicking articles and when we're sharing stuff on Facebook and Twitter and everything else, our level of engagement is what drives the car for the media to say, okay, this is the story we're rolling with. So our clicks and views kind of determine how things go. Now, I know, you know, that's a sad thing to say, but that goes for all American people. And why are we so drawn to, you know, car wreck, basically, train wreck, stories like this. But we do have to give the media. We drive.
And, like I told Sean last week, this story has everything that the media love: money, power, Hollywood, sociality, race, or the combination.
And you know, it is. People are
that dude went on TV and called himself the gay Tupac.
Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness!
Yeah.
What the hell were you thinking, man? Seriously?
One more thing I want to bring up about Mia and attention. The reason why I brought this up, because for Atlanta and people around the world, the media pick and choose their stories. Like, the perfect example, in Brooklyn, New York, there was a case of over 100 Brooklyn, in the Brooklyn Catholic Church and the schools, over 100 priests' names came up as sexual abuse. But there's crickets about that. Go figure. Sean, are you shocked by that?
No, I'm not. I'm not shocked at all. And we've been hearing for the last, probably the last 10, 15 years, that uptick with the Catholic Church and all of the sexual abuse stories that have been going along. We know a lot of those things that have been going on and how they've been trying to change the culture, so to speak, with the current Pope trying to address it and trying to soften the blow and trying to move out the people that are there. But when you hear about people that are doing things that are so disgusting but has been covered up to either save a religion or to save the ideals behind it, and it's been covered up for so long, and now it's starting to come to fruition, all of the things that you hear about, it's not a surprise at all. And the reason why is because, as we stated before, even in the most religious areas, power still trumps a lot of things. There's that word again.
Mm-hmm.
But as has been said before, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And then a lot of times we've seen a lot of in the Catholic religion, a lot of people that have had so much power over other people, they do and get away with so many other things that are deemed disgusting, immoral toward the people that don't have the power, that they are not allowed to get away with. But the ones that have the power can get away with it. But knowing that if other people knew what they were doing, then they would either be excommunicated, put in jail, et cetera, et cetera. So there's that hypocrisy there. And plus, like I said before, you have billions and billions of people that follow a religion. The last thing you want to have is to have a complete revolt against that particular religion, because the people that have the power that are supposed to be there and looking over the ones that are underneath them are getting away with molesting children, molesting women, molesting other people in general. It's disgusting. These are the kinds of things that happen, and it gets swept under the rug.
Lady T, anything left to add on?
I'm just listening and just thinking to myself, like, everything that's in the media right now, like, sex is just around it. R. Kelly, this craft guy, it's like sex is just all around right now, so I don't know.
And that was my next topic, R. Kelly. This guy,
great
for 10 counts.
Oh, man.
You know, thank you. I'm like, are we surprised by this? You know, I give it to Atlanta, but it seems, you know, R. Kelly is not too far from Atlanta, or this hotness that's going on down there. But, Atlanta, what's your insight about R. Kelly? Are you surprised? Should we be proud for this?
No, I'm not surprised at all, because after that special that Dream Hampton put out on Lifetime, where all these different people got to see that and think about the evidence, think about his reputation, think about the Aaliyah situation, and in the public court of opinion, he became guilty. And at that point, if you're a DA and you want to get a nice trophy on your wall, then you're going after R. Kelly. So, yes, I think he's going to see some jail time. I think this is going to end badly for him. And, like, look, man, again, it goes back to engagement. Look on your social media how much people were talking about that Catholic Church scandal, and then look how much people were talking about the R. Kelly thing.
Yeah,
like,
but
this is the biggest thing.
Yeah, but they, I believe overall, a lot of people say this, they're portraying R. Kelly like he's the main pedophile out there, which, yes, what he did was wrong. Well, he's not the main guy. If you compare that to the 100 priests that we have in Brooklyn alone, Brooklyn, God knows around the world how many priests out there doing the bad thing. Well, because they focus on R. Kelly, because once again, money, fame, and he's black, K-Dog.
Well, all I got to say is this, is that whole thing with R. Kelly, once again, it never came as a surprise, because you know what, this people have been talking about him since the 90s, saying, man, this guy has a thing for young girls, and it's been known. This is no surprise. Now, as for the priest, I mean, come on, man. Listen, look. This has been going on for the longest. It only came to light in the, like, for the past few years or so that it came to light. So with that being said, you know, you have a bunch of perverts out there that are running around molesting children. You understand? It's like you have people doing it in families. You have people, you have your neighbors doing it. You can't just trust anybody with your children anymore.
And you know what? R. Kelly needs to be made an example. That's how I
exactly.
feel. I'm sorry. So if
no,
people are not listening with just your neighbors doing it or whatever, somebody in your household, whatever the case may be, then, hey, they've been listening with R. Kelly.
Mm-hmm. Put
True.
Them with R. Kelly.
And,
because R. Kelly, let me tell you this. It, like I said, the rumor has been going on since the 90s when with Aaliyah. People are like, man, you know he's messing around with Aaliyah. And I'm like, hey, man, if he's doing that, then there's something wrong. But then when the tape came out, when that infamous tape came out, and mind you, it sold on the streets like hotcakes, people were observing it like, damn, why don't someone lock his ass up? But now, guess what? R. Kelly's in deep trouble because he can't hide no more because his record label dropped him, and he's not allowed to leave the country because wasn't he planning to go on an international tour or something? That's done.
Yeah.
That's done.
But one thing I want to add on before I go to Sean and the next caller.
Mm-hmm.
I just find it upsetting. I'm not attacking Lady T or the rest of the ladies. But some of the ladies out there, like once again, you know, you have women who fight it hard for equal rights, for the Me Too movement and everything. So you see stories of women, you know, making bond for R. Kelly to get out. Once again, you have females defending R. Kelly and believing R. Kelly. They're like, really? Of all the craziness that's going on with R. Kelly, like, he still has a large base band defending him, despite what's going on.
But you're going to have that always hot rod with sexual predators. You're always
exactly.
going to have somebody out there defending them. So it has nothing to do with it being R. Kelly. And that's the state of mind that people are in, and it's really, really sad. And that's why people get away with these things.
And the crazier thing about this is the fact that he got away with it for so long. I mean, when I saw that there was a video that they showed on the news just a couple days ago, and I completely forgot about this, where it was an interview, I believe it was with either BET or with MTV, and the reporter had Aaliyah and R. Kelly there shortly after their marriage. And he said, well, it showed on the paperwork that you were 18, but you weren't. So what is your age? And Aaliyah looked at the camera, and she said, shh, it's a secret. This is documented on camera.
Yeah.
And if no one figured out something was off then, and
then there's a problem.
From what the court papers are saying, he was 27 at the time. She was 14, but she put in the paperwork that she obviously had lied about her age. She was 18, but still, 27, 14.
That's
if that isn't enough to realize something is off.
Yeah, something's really
there's,
wrong.
There's really something
really
off
wrong.
About a lot of this. And when you go forward and you look at the pattern, almost everybody that R. Kelly has seemingly either had a relationship with or has come forward there, they were at the time 15, 16, 14, 17, 13. Who knows what age is the youngest? And it shouldn't really matter because in all reality, they are all under age
allegedly.
And I was
going to
say a very naive age at that.
He feels that he has control over these girls. That's why he's doing it.
Yeah.
Yes,
and
young
control.
Impressionable women, girls at the time who either are looking to get with somebody who is a celebrity or give them attention that they're not getting at home, because I think a couple of them talked about how they had either run away or they were at a concert and he gave them attention by, oh, well, come backstage or you can come to the recording studio. I'll show you how I do mix my music in, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that's how it started. All the way up to what we've been hearing over the last couple of years where he has an alleged sex cult. And one of the people was sort of brainwashed. I think she's like 20 or 18 or 19 or whatever her age is. And she keeps saying, well, there's nothing wrong. Matter of fact, she did an interview with, TMZ recently and trying to tell her parents, I'm not brainwashed. I'm okay. There's nothing wrong with my relationship with R. Kelly. We're fine, et cetera, et cetera. These are the kinds of things that have been happening for the longest time. And the fact that an African-American entertainer has gotten away with something that long ago most people would have thought you would never be able to get away with, and he did, and was still able to make money and a reputation,
it's
crazy. Which, by the way, he's now out of jail because he made the $100,000 bond about a couple of hours ago. So he's now out of jail right now.
But he's not allowed to leave the country, though.
Hold on. I have another caller. 954, you're on the air.
Hey, guys. How you doing? This is Big Red on radio here. I'm here.
Oh, my God.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, oh, my
okay.
God.
I'm about to
What's
hang
up,
up right
guys?
Now.
I'm here.
The show is over. I'm going to hang up right now. The show's over.
Oh, my
show
goodness.
Got over. Hi, guys. Hi. How y'all doing?
Hello.
How y'all doing? Hey,
what's
hey,
up, what's up?
So, Big Red, you went to R. Kelly Mansion a few years ago. What happened? Tell me. We went to Gotham.
I ain't go to his mansion. I ain't go there. I was going there. I did a detour. I was going there. But I was listening to a little bit of what you guys were saying, and you know, my take on the whole thing is basically, like I said, it's being made a mockery of. It's sad because once again, you know, I say it all the time. Our people are, you know, our own worst enemy, and.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is supposed to be a serious issue. Like I said, like everyone said, these young ladies were underage. But, you know, of course, you know, because they were underage and they were young ladies of color, it's like it's being made, like I said, a mockery of. And, you know, some people are making money off of it. R. Kelly, you know, he's going to still make money off of it because even though they may have cut him from certain, you know, places where he can't, you know, his music won't be played, somebody's going to be playing his music. Somebody's going to stream it.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to download. They're going to play it somewhere. Okay, so he's still going to be making money. It seems like, you know, negativity thrives in this, you know, world that we live in. Now, even though it's something negative, people are going to still see it as a positive.
You know? Why, why is that? That people will see this as a positive overall?
It's just the world that we live, you know, it's just what, it's unfortunately, people have lost morals. Values. It's the world that we're living in now. It's like, I'd rather, oh, something negative excites me, but, you know, if you say something positive, then you're quite like, I'll say a few years ago, I had put a post up on Facebook saying I was in love. I wasn't really in love, but I put it up there. Only a few people put, you know, likes to it or whatever, but when I'm saying something mean and if I say something, well, not really mean, but if I say something negative, oh, I get all these likes and, oh, yeah, you know, you writing it. I'm like, wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Well,
true.
You know,
exactly.
Sean said all the time, misery loves company.
Oh, yes, it does.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly, man.
It's just,
misery,
you know, it's just sad. Go ahead, sorry.
Kato?
It's just, you know, it's crazy. Go ahead, Kato.
It's true. Yeah. No, you know what's sad about it? Hey, once again, welcome to the wonderful world of social media. That's what I got to say.
And you know
exactly.
What?
It's just.
Well, I'm happy to have Big Red and Lady T and Anita on the phone now. I want to tell you a quick personal story, and I want the whole panel. I want an opinion from the whole panel because on the show many times we talk about children and bullying, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Tisha deal with kids all the time. Over the weekend, my son, he's 5 years old. He talks a lot. He told me everything, what's going on in school. Mm-hmm. And some parents praise me, and some parents, of course, criticize me. So I'd like to get you, the panel opinion first. In Brooklyn, there was no school for a week, so I sent my son to an after-school program for the whole week. And I gave him snacks.
Mm.
Trust me, I gave him more food than whatsoever. He claimed to me that he ate everything, which I know he did not. But he told me that some kids, I know kids will be kids. We know that for a fact. You know, they abuse each other, they pick on each other, they take things from one another. And my son told me that this kid took his chips and threw it to the garbage. So I asked my son, why did he take your chips? He says, he did not give him any. But I always tell my kids, Don't share your food with anyone. I don't care who it is. So I asked him, what do you do? Do you tell the counselor? Do you tell him not to take your chips? Long story short, I told him, listen, if next time if anyone takes your stuff without you without them asking you, you hit them.
Mm-hmm.
You may tell the teacher, you may tell the counselor. If they're not going to do anything, you fight back and you hit them. But that person will tell the counselor on me. I told myself, let that person tell the counselor so the counselor could tell mommy and daddy. We will fix it. Of course, some parents criticize you should not teach your son for violence, blah, blah, blah. Maybe Big Red, because your mother's first. What do you think how the situation should be handled? Maybe T?
I don't know if I should say it. I'll let Red say it because I work in the school. And my thing might be a different rule than what the school would say, because I'm sorry if you get my hint. But I...
Yeah.
Well,
go ahead, Big Red.
I worked...
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Big Red.
Well, I worked in a school before as well. That situation, in this day and age, is hard because just like you said, you want to teach your children to protect themselves or to defend themselves off of other children. As my kids were growing up, especially my older son, I never taught him to, not that I didn't teach him to protect himself, but when I first had my son, I said to myself, I'm not going to teach him. I would hope that I didn't have to teach him to fight or to protect himself or to defend himself against kids, because you know what? Kids are kids. Y'all supposed to get along. You're in class with each other, your friends. Like I said, I never really had that issue where I had to, you know, except for when I got a little older. But, you know, in that situation, I mean, it's hard. It's hard. It's like, if you don't keep telling him to defend himself, then guess what? Then they're going to keep picking on him. They're going to keep picking on him. Now, once again, you can tell him to tell, you know, that's the right thing, tell him to tell the counselor, the teacher, whatever. But you know what? Some of these teachers and some of these counselors, I'm going to defend them a little bit. Some of them are tired. Because you know what?
They
got 30 or 40 kids. Yeah,
they're
overwhelmed. They got 30 or 40 kids to a class. Exactly. They got 35 to 40 kids in a class. Once again, I worked in the school. I was an after-school counselor. I worked with teachers and all that. They got 35 to 40 kids in the class. Some of the kids, they can't control. Not that they don't know how to, but they can't, because some of them have ADD, ADHD, this issue, that issue. Some of them are not getting taught from home. Like, a lot of these parents,
they
used to teach their children back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I'm not laughing at the situation. I'm laughing because it's true, but some kids have so many issues, you can't keep up.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. But then the other issue is a lot of these parents don't teach their kids anything from home. They expect the teachers to teach these kids. And,
yeah.
I, and like mm-hmm. I said, we have firsthand experience where certain things I had to teach kids because it's like parents must not be telling you this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's a problem.
And then you also have the parents that are tired. The parents are tired at home, too, disciplining the child that they know is out of order. And they know that child is bothering kids at school. They're tired of them. So it's
because
like, I don't know.
But you have some of them that know that their child has a problem, and they won't try to get anything. You know, they won't try to get the child help. They'll say, oh, well, my child don't have an issue. Oh, it's the other kid. I had a parent tell me that.
Uh-huh.
Oh, it's the kid. Miss, no, it's your child. Let me tell you what that one is. It's your kid. It's your kid.
Okay, Atlanta, what's your intake?
Yeah, I think I got a good answer for this one, man. You got to think about these things in a case-by-case basis. Like, your child, you're saying, from the way you describe it, it sounds like he's a little passive. So that child definitely needs to be told to defend themselves. Because when it comes down to it, man, a lot of times, well, in this particular instance, academia likes to present the world that we want to live in as opposed to the world that we do live in. So it would be nice if you could just go to the teacher, hey, such and such is being bullied, and then it's going to be handled. But no, at a certain point, you've got to deal with the troubles in front of you on your own. And your child has to learn that not only in school, but getting to the workplace. And at a certain point, you're going to have a little backbone. You're going to have to make sure people aren't abusing you, and you're going to have to defend yourself. Self-defense is the first law. You know what I mean? And that's nature, period. So, like, when we talk about things like this, and these people got these beautiful, well-researched answers, and they say, well, bullying is caused by da, da, da. Okay, what's that got to do with my son who's getting beat up by XYZ? Like, no, I got to handle this problem specifically and make sure that when I'm not around that this child is at least protecting their body, because at a certain point, that's all you got. What's in front of you, you know, how you think about yourself, your self-esteem, your dignity, and you should not allow somebody else to take that from you. So I think no matter what, it's a case-by-case basis, because there are some kids who are really aggressive and are doing the bullying, and their parents need to, need to tune them down a little bit. But overall, man, you can't just look at this as a simple thing that's going to be handled by the administration, because it's way more complicated than that, and no bullying will not disappear because you put up a no bullying sign. Like, this is a reality of life, especially with children.
Yeah.
They're trying to figure out their pecking order. They're trying to figure out life. And guess what? Kids are kind of mean, as we all know.
Kinda.
All of us on the phone roasting somebody.
Not
kind of. Sean's
mean to me every day.
We all did it. So, you know, we're keeping it a buck. We all did
it. Sean, any input?
Well, here's the thing. It seems to be a generational issue. It's different. The way Hot Rod is raising his kids is different from how he was raised, which is different from how his parents and grandparents were raised.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you the way my mom was raised was that if somebody picked on my mother, her grandmother would tell her, if somebody picks on you and I find out you didn't defend yourself, I'll beat your butt when you get home.
I'm gonna whoop your ass.
And that is
exactly
a particular mentality of growing up from two or so generations ago, when the parent and the grandparent made sure that the child had not only enough to deal with certain things happening in society, but also learning how to apply that to defending themselves, because they knew they were going to need those survival skills at some point later on in life. So even if it was something as innocuous as a bully bullying you, even if you lose, I want you to, you know, sweep the leg, as they were saying in the Karate Kid. Even if you lose, do something. Don't just sit back and just get wailed on. And the thing that we've seen now, the paradigm shift, where you're starting to see the children that are in certain instances, you don't see that same defend themselves or whatever, because everybody is trying to be a friend. Everybody is trying to make sure that everybody is, that there's an inclusiveness involved. But as we've seen the advent in social media, a lot of the bullying has changed from not just the physical, but also social media-wise, what somebody says on Instagram. You're seeing a digital bullying, which is, in a lot of instances, a lot worse, because now what we're starting to see at the advent of social media, and now we're starting to see people killing themselves over something that was put in a post, people harming themselves because what somebody said, seeing somebody having an Instagram page or Facebook page desecrated by a bully after somebody has already killed themselves, because we talked about this on our show before a couple years ago, where somebody was bullied and decided to kill themselves, and then one of the bullies actually went on the Facebook page that was there for a tribute and continued the bullying. So this is where we've gotten to now, where it's no longer just the physical. It's the physical supplemented with the digital and the social media aspect of it. And that's what makes it even harder.
That's the big problem.
Absolutely.
And then you also have the bullies that'll turn it around and say, oh, well, she was bullying me first and so forth, and they try to play the victim. I've had that happen, and I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Like, come on.
These young kids are narcissists. A lot of them, just like I said, they don't want to take responsibility for their actions because nobody's teaching them that. You have to teach your children certain things from home.
Mm-hmm.
These things need to be taught from home, because I always say it. I tell younger people and the younger people that are having children or whatever, the child's not going to pop out with a manual and say, okay, this is how this child's going to turn out. You have to teach them certain things. You see?
Right, entertaining.
I'm serious. That's a good way of
putting it. Exactly. They're not going to come out with a manual that says, hey, this is how you do this and another. It has to be.
Oh,
it's just this. One thing is,
oh,
it's just
learn.
I know.
It would be so easy.
This baby's got a birthmark
like,
on his back, and this is instruction
right. It's like it's a learned behavior. If the parent has been taught, and like I said, you got a lot of, like I said, we were all young parents at one time, but you have a lot of these young people. If they're not being taught certain, if they weren't taught certain things, how are you going to teach your child? And here you are, 17, 18, 19, 20 years old, having
mm-hmm.
a kid, and you don't even know what the hell you're doing. Because guess what? Your parents didn't teach you what to do.
No, Big Ray, I love you brought up that point because a lot of people have argued with me because I've never lied about my age. I'm old. I'm 42 years old. I started parenting late, but like I told people, I had my fun. You know, I live my life. You know, compared to someone who's 17, 18, 19, we have kids, and you're about to become grandparents right now. At
exactly.
I just party and live my life.
Grandparent at 15, great grandparent at 25.
You know, are you talking? You're 40 years old.
Younger, younger
about
younger than the day, aren't they?
And then, you know, it's, I'm a grandparent, but I'm 47 years old. So, I mean, I guess this is the age I'm supposed to be a grandparent. I guess. when I first became a grandparent, I was 40 when I became a grandparent. 30, yeah, I was 40 years old. So I guess that was a good age, I guess. But, you know, just like you said, these grandparents are young and young, and they 30-something. I don't know, you a grandmother at 30, 29, 30. Look, what happened? Look, what happened?
Yeah. Like Brett Favre became a grandfather
if I could add two things. For one, families are an extension of society. This is a very violent, misogynistic, crazy society, and that society produces what? So we got to be careful about sometimes talking about the people who are actually usually the product of what the society turns out. And the second point would be, I know, you know, it's become a funny thing to say is, you know, black people are all worse problems. Look, man, ain't nothing wrong with black folks and getting rid of racism wouldn't solve. Like, the idea of America, what people have to deal with on a daily basis, from your job to just normal, you know, living in society, when you're walking behind a white woman and you make some noise so she knows you're there, so she's not startled, when you make a conversation on the elevator to ease somebody's guilt to make sure things don't escalate, all the little, you know, micro stuff that we do all of the time to kind of soothe the beast that we don't really think about in a real way because other people don't even have to do it, but we do it all of the time. The black woman who has to lower her voice at her job and talk to a moron like they're smart because she'll be called an angry black woman if she does. Like all of these different traits that we've learned over our life, man, like this is a whole extra, you know what I'm saying,
job
that nobody else is dealing with. And we don't even, you know, we don't even ponder it, man. Think about these skills you've picked up over your lifetime.
And I think the definition of America in the eyes of those differs depending on your socioeconomic situation, your upbringing, where you were raised, and as you said before, your family and what they imparted in you. And I think that when you learn that, then you learn how to raise your children, what discipline you use, if there's any discipline at all. This free-range parenting where people say, well, my child walks home to school by herself. And
okay, as always, Sean Black
got
to talk over and over and over. Sean Black, shut up now. It's time to go. Thank you so much. And then, Atlanta. Big Red, you shocked me tonight. And Lady T, and of course, Sean Black, guys. Thank you so much for the show.
Hey, what about K-Dog?
Oh, shit. I didn't say K-Dog. Calm down, boy.
Oh, damn. What the
that's
hell?
Okay, go get some sleep. Big Red,
oh,
don't shock me like this again.
Yes.
Okay? And,
you're welcome.
As always, the pleasure was all yours. Good night, everyone. And
yes,
God
right.
Good night, y'all. Good night.
Good night, y'all.
All right.
Peace out. Good night, everybody.
All right.
Peace out.
Big Red, I love you, Big Red. I love you, Big Red.
I love you, Big Red.
But,